And this is First Baptist Church for April 6, 2025.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for being here. This is such a pleasure. I did not expect such a full house. I do want to pray and also say thanks for allowing me to stand before you to bring the word. I still feel recently ordained, so I'm still getting used to this. But again, thank you for allowing me, and thank you for being here. Father God, I pray your presence with us. I pray your hand of direction, correction, and protection. I pray that we may open our hearts and minds to what you have for us today, that you will guide my words, and that you will allow your spirit to permeate every mind and spirit here, that we might be as one in your sight and give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As many are here that weren't last week, I want to recap last message because it's going to lead into this one a bit. I spoke about logos. It's sort of a name for, or it's a description of the Lord Jesus. And we look at John 1. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome it. Then further on in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to be moving on to a few verses in chapter 6, John, and then also chapter 15. I'm looking to draw a connection between the Word and the flesh. It says, the Word was made flesh. And when we go for the verses in 6. This is after the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus tells the people about receiving him and eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And in chapter 6, 53 says, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." Now, many were turned off by this, ran away, were scared, didn't know what to do. And the point that I'm going to bring out next is about this last line, "Remain in me, and I remain in you." So he described his flesh as real food and the blood as real drink, and that you had to partake of them or you have no part in me. But then, as he did with many times with the apostles, that he didn't do with the general public, is he would give an explanation. So after the others ran away and Jesus asked them, "What does this mean?" And Peter says, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter, as he has done in other occasions, comes out with a saying that seems not to fit. He says, "You have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go?" So it's drawing again the connection between the flesh and the Word. Then Jesus says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." He seems to be saying, don't focus on the idea of the flesh and the blood. It's a means to receiving. So, communion. What do we do at communion? We remember his death, his sacrifice, and his passion in the night that he was handed over, and he passed on this memorial. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I love the book of John, and these are passages I've worked through many times. And I love this idea of being pruned. When he talks about being more fruitful, that he's going to prune. Well, that's like our lives as we grow in Jesus and he grows in us, that the parts that are unnecessary, we want to remove. We're always looking for the thing that Jesus is looking, God is looking to add to our lives, and that which he is looking for us to remove. There's always some way to grow by maturing, but also by learning that which we... I said to my young worker that the greatest joy can be fulfilling the purpose of your life that God created you for. So we look to prune off the things. We allowed him to be that gardener and to grow us, and at the same time, clear us and clean us. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And it starts to build that image that we need to stay connected. Now, there's a nice side to that, that if we look at the vine, that it also said that as the new life, we were grafted into what came before. There was one God, the God that's of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that sent Jesus, his son, to earth to die for us. So it said that the vine we were grafted into, there was that purpose from the beginning, and Jesus fulfilled it. Now we are part of that. We remain in him, and he remains in us, and we remain in the vine. Again, after pruning, what will happen? If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's this idea of fruit being that which we can accomplish, the purpose that we were created for, and accomplishing that. Then it takes us a step further. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So we're looking at communion as a connection. It's a consuming. When we receive Jesus, when we take communion, it's also the receiving of the word. When we spend time in the Bible, when we're reading the word, when we're learning about Jesus, we are receiving him, we are consuming him, we are, and I like to look at this word, the dictionary has, imbibing. So it first means to consume liquids by drinking. It also means to absorb or soak up as water, light, or heat. But then the third is to take or receive into the mind as knowledge, ideas, or the like. So Jesus, the Word made flesh, when we receive him, is a matter of taking him in not only physically or spiritually, but also mentally. This is a presence that we are looking for, that to remain in him and remain, and for him to remain in us, is to maintain that connection, being aware of him, being aware of the presence. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He's saying, when you remain in me and I remain in you, and you allow the gardener to prune you and grow you and bring you more into the identity, the person you were created to be, that we will gain joy. You know, that'd be a question, right? If it doesn't matter, if we're saved, if there's nothing to lose, why worry about it? But the joy of serving. We talk about the fulfillment of serving God, even as I say about working at the diner and sharing the knowledge of Christ with people and being a presence. I gained great joy from that, even in the face of difficulty. Of course, Jesus, being the Son whose life was given for us, says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another." So we talk about remaining in him, him remaining in us. This is maintaining the connection, remaining and maintaining, being the presence of the presence. As we've talked about here, and I always feel like it's a little bit of confirmation when I hear the same theme being repeated right through the service, talking about people being exposed to the word by your presence, carrying the presence with you, bearing him in mind that this is the way that we can fulfill that purpose of sharing the gospel, of being an example to others. What example do we want to be? We want to be joyful. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled, because these are the kinds of things that are going to make people question, what's special about you? I've had opportunity, and just, you get somebody will say, "Well, what's special about you? Why? How can you maintain this happiness and maintain composure in all these difficulties?" And when you can tell them it's because of the presence of Christ in your life, that's one of the greatest encouragements to try to find out. We want people to question. The world is full of trouble. We all face that. But when we have Jesus, we know that there's a victory awaiting and that we can endure. You know, we talked about this recently as well, is that we have been through a tough time, that we've had a lean winter. But sometimes it's about enduring. And as the Lord says, if you maintain and you remain, in due time, he will lift you up. And so that's what we can look forward to. We can know of that as a promise, that we need to maintain and remain, and that the fruit will come, and that we will be lifted up to his honor and glory. So I say, be the presence of the presence by maintaining and remaining in him and being aware of his presence in you. Now, the Proverbs, I love Proverbs as well, that we brought up this idea of wisdom. Well, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, when you know what his capabilities are in us, when you know what the cost is of not following, that's wisdom, because it directs you to develop that connection and to be aware of his presence in you. And as that grows, we grow. As we become more the image of what he has created us to be, more the image of Christ himself, we shine a brighter light that more people will see, and we have opportunity to, again, be the presence of the presence. I have not talked for a long time, I know, but I hope that this message means something to you. I talked about speaking in public and being not afraid of holding on to the presence of Christ in your own mind so that you can endure and overcome, and having the knowledge of the promise that in due time we will be lifted up, and in due time we will receive the reward that is coming for us. Thank you. Amen. Father God, I thank you that you do remain in us, and that as we become aware of the connection, we grow in you as you grow in us. You're repeating these words over and over again. And I've learned that when the word is repeated over and over again, it's very important. This idea of remaining in you and you remaining in us. As we go to communion next time, Let us be aware of that. Let us be aware of the meaning of receiving you, of consuming you, of imbibing you, of reading the word, of learning about you, that we can, you know, you have told us that don't worry about words because the Holy Spirit will give you words. But boy, it's a lot better when we have knowledge of the foundation and the meaning of the word itself, that we could be better prepared to share with others. Lord, you guide us and direct us. It's like a vine growing. We move forward. We grow towards the light. And that is you. We do pray, Lord, that as we grow, that we will mature, that we will gain wisdom, that we will be your presence in the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.